talk about putting food on the table, putting a roof over our heads, paying the bills, the thing that keeps us busy. By that, I mean work. We typically see work as a way to provide for ourselves, a way to meet our needs and possibly some of our wants. This is the main drive for us to work. I was reading a business journal article by Gallup, and I came across an alarming stat about work. And they say that in the Western world, 71% of people do not enjoy their work. They are disengaged, they are checked out, and they are unhappy about their work. So this tells me that people work to provide for themselves, to meet their needs, and maybe some wants. But 7 out of 10 of these people are not enjoying the work that they do. And I'm pretty sure that Jesus, when he came, he said he came to give us life and life to its fullest. And I'm pretty sure that includes work as well. So maybe we need to rediscover what work is, or maybe we need to redefine what work is. And already we've heard some pretty good stories of work being redefined. I mean, for some of us, what would work look like when it gives you life to the fullest? So I've been marinating on some things over the last while about the topic of work. So I'll be sharing about where I'm up to on these thoughts. So let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you that you love us and we love you. Thank you that you're a God who loves to communicate to us. And Lord, speak to each one of us and meet us where we're at as we're exploring this topic of work. And everybody said, to rediscover what work is, we must start in the origins of when work first began. In Genesis 1, we discover a God who creates, and whenever this God creates, he acknowledges, he appreciates, and calls his creation good. But he doesn't just create. He just loves creating, so he creates, but he loves doing it. And following on with Genesis 2, we read that by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day, and made it holy because on it he had rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And here we learn about a God who works. Our God works. He's in the business of creating. Our God's work is to create. And we see the results of our God's work in this world, in the stars, and the sun, and the moon above us, the animals and birds, the mountains and valleys, the oceans and plains. Everything we see before us is the result of God's work. And not only that, God appreciates, he celebrates, and is proud of his work. He doesn't just call it good, he calls it very good. Our God works. Now as we continue reading, we see that God creates man in his image. We're created in the image of a working and creating God. We are created to work. And when God created man, one of the first things God does is that he puts a man in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. I've watched many young people from this youth group being employed for their first jobs. And the moment that they got their first job, you could see it in their eyes. You know, they just lit up. You could watch the way they walk. It was amazing. It was they had such confidence. And the way they held their head, it was like they found purpose and meaning. So when God put man in the Garden of Eden to work at it and to take care of it, work was given to man to discover purpose and meaning. Work was an invitation to be co-creators and to partner with God, to work and to create with God, to be part of something bigger, to care and to be responsible for his garden, his world. Work gives man purpose and meaning. I remember a time when I was about 12, when I was in year 12, we had to create a mirror frame in metalwork. We had to design the frame, we had to learn the skills to bend the metal and weld the metal together. And as I finished the last weld, I looked at it, and there was this good feeling of sensation, of satisfaction, of delight and accomplishment within me. And after doing all this work, I quickly called over my mates to check out my mirror frame. And I remember one mate going, "Man, I can't wait to finish mine." And another going, "Far out, that looks awesome." And I was proud of my work. So when God put man to work, this is because he wanted man to experience the fruit, the result, the product of our work, to experience a feeling of satisfaction, accomplishment, and joy that work brings, to celebrate the result of work and be proud of what he creates, to be able to call and see this work good. And just like the moment, the feeling when I created my mirror frame, you know, there's this energy and passion, and this is what work is supposed to be. So when God puts man in the Garden of Eden to work and to take care of it, work was to give man purpose and meaning and to experience the satisfaction, accomplishment, and joy of the result of work. We are created to work where the goods and service that we produce gives us purpose and meaning, and the work enables us to experience satisfaction, accomplishment, and joy of the result of our work. This is what work is supposed to look like. And I believe that we must discover this type of work, rediscover this type of work again. I mean, today we spend about 8 hours a day, 5 days a week working, and we probably work for about maybe 40 years of our life. Work takes a huge portion of our lives. And this doesn't just take into account for travel or when work is on our mind outside of work. You know, the stats, 7 out of 10 people wake up every morning and not being able to enjoy our work. Is quite alarming. I mean, most of my mates, when I talk to them, they dread their work and always can't wait for the weekend. And I would say whenever I go on Facebook throughout the day, I always see statuses like, can the weekend hurry up already? TGIF, thank God for Friday. Or, it's Friday. Finally, the weekend's here, time to celebrate. Oh no, the weekend's over. Oh, Monday. And then the other one is, why is the weekend so far away? And I would say that these express, you know, some sort of disengagement, that they're a bit checked out and unhappy with work. And even when I'm passing conversations with people, work is like a dirty word. You know, having work drain us like this, you know, I don't think this is the abundant life Jesus has for us. I believe that Jesus came to give us life in all areas, including work. And I believe it's time to redefine work. And I want to talk about a significant celebration of redefining work. It's called Labor Day. In 1840, a carpenter by the name of Samuel Parnell, he's from Wellington, he led a movement to change a 12-hour working day into an 8-hour working day. His reasoning went like this. There are 24 hours per day given to us. 8 of these should be for work. 8 for sleep, and the remaining 8 for recreation, in which for men to do what little things they want to do for themselves. You know, Samuel, he was fighting so that he and others could be able to work while having time to enjoy, appreciate, and experience life. And on October 28th, 1890, Labor Day was first celebrated to remember the 8-hour working day. And this led a movement for many other countries also to have an 8-hour working day. You know, Labor Day is a significant movement that redefined work to what we know today. And in the 19th century, New Zealand was called the working man's paradise. And I believe that the stats where 71% of people who are not enjoying their work, this shows that we need to redefine work. And maybe rediscover, you know, this working man's paradise New Zealand once was. And maybe, you know, us as Christians could lead the way in this. So I guess, you know, the question is, you know, how do we get there? What do we do to ensure that, you know, our work is life-giving, that we can call, you know, that our work is a working paradise? There are 3 things that I've been marinating over for the last little while. And I've been marinating by observing people who kind of inspire me, where their work just gives them a lot of life, and also some reading around kind of this topic. And I've been trying to figure out, you know, what is kind of the formula of, you know, having a job, having a work, having a career that gives us life. So I've just pondered on them. I don't think they're a set formula yet, but these are my thoughts on where I'm up to on this. I guess the first thing I pondered on is that when I read and saw people, is that a lot of people who work, they really enjoy their work. They actually know who they are. And I guess the first thing to do to find a job that gives us life is to discover who we are. You know, maybe we need to take a self-assessment of who we are and learn about ourselves. People who are geniuses discover the genie within themselves. You need to find out and understand what makes you, you. And these include your passions, your natural gifts, your personality, your skill sets, and your talents. You know, find a language to describe who you are and what makes you, you. Some tools could be, you know, personality tests like Myers-Briggs or StrengthFinders. But I must warn you, personality tests are descriptions, not prescriptions of people. Or maybe visiting a careers counselor or a life coach. These are excellent ways to discover who you are and to create understanding of who you are. You know, God has created you uniquely, so discover your uniqueness. And I'm starting to believe that when we are in heaven, God will not say, "How come you weren't more like Jesus?" But he will say, "How come you weren't more like the person I created you to be?" I read in the Entrepreneur article just recently that today we live in a day and age where we can choose any career that we want to be, that we're not bound to pick up our family trade, and that we can actually make a living out of our hobbies that we enjoy. So why not maximize the day and age that we live in? So discover and understand who you are, and this way you will know what makes you feel alive. And when you're doing hard work, you know that there's life at the end of this. And this will enable you to create a product or a service that will make you feel alive and enjoy it. And the second thing I pondered on is that you need to find purpose and meaning in work. I believe that, you know, God is still working. He's still in the work of creating in this day and age and today. And we must be aware of what God is doing for work in our world today. And the way we know this is, you know, we try to figure out what are God's priorities in this world. And I don't think God's priorities are actually a mystery. I actually believe that they're clearly written in the Bible. And God's always calling us to partner, to co-create, to contribute to his kingdom. And by joining with God, we find purpose and meaning to our work. And when you cross God's priorities with who you are, you'll find work that not only gives you life, but also gives you purpose and meaning. You know, find that crossover, that connection, that sweet spot between God's priorities and who you are. So when you feed his lambs, when you find the lost sheep, when you build wise houses, when you manage money well, you will feel alive because you're co-working with God on his priorities. And instead of, you know, feeling obligated that you must serve or you must do this and that for God, I believe that God allows us to negotiate with him, you know, to work on our terms to build his kingdom. He wants us to use our giftings, our uniqueness to build his kingdom. He wants us to negotiate with him, you know, how can we build his kingdom with him? I mean, Abraham, you know, he negotiated with God to save his nephew Lot before serving him. And I mean, like, when you work for God, wouldn't it be awesome, you know, just to simply hear at the end of time Jesus to say, "Well done, great and faithful servant." That's what I want to hear. And that's the greatest purpose I think anyone could work for. And the third thing that I've pondered on is that maybe we need to rethink, what is the fruit? What is the result of work? As we work, we create a product or a service that we exchange for money. We must see that money is not the end result or the fruit of work, but the fruit and result of work is actually relationship. So let me explain. So let's take our communion table for an example. There are many hands that went into that table. You know, the basic materials probably started growing as a seed into a small tree in a nursery. And when the little tree was big enough, you know, the horticulture worker sold these small trees off to a farmer and an exchange happens. Then the farmer goes on to plant these small trees in his field to grow a forest. And over time, the trees get massive. Then the farmer hires a logging company to clear the trees. You know, in exchange, the logging company gets a product and the farmer gets money. And then the logger sells the wood to a lumber yard and another exchange happens. And in the lumberyard, the wood gets treated or cut into different sizes. Then a craftsman comes along to buy some wood. And then another exchange happens. The craftsman creates a table and sells this to a shopkeeper, which means another exchange happens. And before this table ends up here at church, another exchange happens. Then it's delivered here. We are forgetting, you know, about the other changes that might have happened in this process, like the craftsman's exchanging money for new tools, or another exchange when the logger buys a new truck, or the horticulture worker exchanging money for his kids to go to a private school. And I believe that the kingdom is in the business of exchanging work, that all products and services go through a process of exchange. And in exchange of work, it's not just money that gets in change or another product or service. The most important exchange is the relationship created. And I believe that when we see the end result of work as relationships, this changes the way we see work. I mean, that work is not just a way to meet our needs, but also it contributes to others and society. And when we see work that it ends in relationships, this enables us to see the faces, names, and stories of people in the exchange of work. And when we see relationship and work this way, you know, I believe justice happens automatically. I mean, when we build these relationships in our exchange of work, we see the people behind the product and services. I mean, when we see them as brothers and sisters, how can we exploit them? How do we let our brothers and sisters be exploited by our exchange of work? And this is how the kingdom, I believe, will expand. It's through all these connections and these exchanges of products and services that create these relationships. And this enables us to see what work is for and be proud of our work and the impact it has on people. And wouldn't we want to see these exchanges be fair and be just so that we could say our work is good? So these are three things I have marinated on, to discover who you are, to figure out what God's priorities are, and to realize that your work is actually an exchange of relationships. And from marinating on these thoughts, observing people and reading up on these things, I believe that when you explore these three things, you will begin to experience work that will give you life and has purpose. And also, more important, you'll look at your work and be proud of it. You know, this is what work could be. The truth is, in this world, we're always going to work, whether we like it or not. So why not work so this gives you life and the world around us? From Genesis to Revelations, there's a shift from the garden to the city. And if you ask me, a city is actually a bunch of organized gardens. And I believe that in the next life, when heaven is here, I believe God will call us to work and to take care of a city. And a personal challenge that I've set up for myself as I pursue, you know, like what work looks like for me for the next couple of years or next years and so on. A personal challenge I've set for myself is that when Jesus comes back to earth, when he separates good from evil, the challenge I've set for myself is that the work that I do on earth, I want it to endure in the kingdom to come. I want it to last in the kingdom to come. So these are my thoughts on, you know, this topic of work. So I guess, where are you up to on this topic of work? You were created in the image of a God who works, who invites you to co-work, to co-create, and to co-partner with him. To work a work which enables you to experience life in its fullness that builds the kingdom. And maybe you're sitting right here, maybe you're dissatisfied, checked out, unhappy to work. Maybe you need to rediscover work or redefine work. Or maybe you need to start a journey to discover who you are, what makes you alive, what are you passionate about. Maybe it's simply just to visit a careers counselor or a life coach. Or maybe you need to find a work that matches God's purposes and priorities. Or maybe you need to start seeing business as an exchange of relationships to understand where it comes from and to see where it goes. And maybe you just need to realize that the end relationship of work is not money, it's relationships. Or simply, you know, you need to be proud and celebrate your work because it is good. Or maybe you need to journey alongside others so that they can discover work that gives them life. And the only way to discover a work, a job, a career that gives you life is to take initiative to do so. I mean, what do you have to lose? Imagine if you woke up every Monday morning passionate and ready to work. So let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you that you're a God who works and that you still work today. And that you're a God who wants us to experience life to its fullest, even in our daily work. And Lord, may you guide each one of us to discover what this means. And everybody said,